Good morning. Let's begin our worship by singing as the children's song would go. We're all in our places with sunshiny faces. So we're going to start singing about sunshine.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light, all the sunshine, sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King. And Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love. For blessings she gives me now, for joys light up above. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul.
Yeah, I did. Me and my hoes are going to come up here and do the opening this morning. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad everyone else is able to be here this morning. We're going to read from Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. We're going to start in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we're able to be here. We thank you that we're able to come to a house of worship and praise and sing songs of praises to your name and be able to draw near to you in prayer and in communion and with each other and be able to build each other up. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for all the blessings you give us in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep valley, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Alleluia, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows all around me, shadows above me, my Savior and Guide. He is the light, in Him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to His side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight,
flooding my soul
with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing His praises. Gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine.
This will be our psalm before scripture reading and prayer.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. Oh, holy God. revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares, thou wilt supply our need. For blessing now, O Lord, I humbly plead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
No. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 through 33. Matthew 10, 26 through 33. So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim it from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Dear God, we come before you today at the beginning of this worship service, and we thank you for the freedom and the opportunities we have here in this country to gather together without fear. And Lord, we take that for granted almost all the time. Help us to be mindful of what that is and what you've blessed us with in that situation. As we continue in our worship, let our minds be free from any worries or fears or stress. Help us to focus wholly on you and worshiping you. And be with Michael as he brings the lesson. Speak through him. Speak to us. Let us be encouraged and educated from your word. Be with us as we go after services out back out into our daily lives, into the world. Keep us from fear. Let us focus our minds instead on how your love is for us and how much we truly mean to you. We ask these things through the sacrifice of your Son. Amen.
My Savior dear, I love thee, oh, I love thee. For thou hast made my blinded eyes to see. Redeem my soul upon the cross of Calvary, and from the bonds of sin hath made me free. I now am happy in thy loving favor. I would that others great love should know. I'll praise thy name throughout the endless ages, my Savior dear, my Savior dear, I love thee so. When stormy clouds of doubt and sin were raging, and I was tossed
upon the sea of life. You whispered peace, and every way obeyed ye. You gave me power to conquer every strife. I now am happy in thy loving favor. I would that others this great love should know. I'll praise thy name throughout the endless ages. My Savior dear, my Savior dear, I love thee so. My Savior dear, how can I repay thee for thy great love and sacrifice for me? I feel, dear Lord, that I am so unworthy of thine atoning blood that made me free. I now am happy in thy loving favor. I would that Savior dear, my Savior dear, I love thee so.
First John, chapter 2, starting in verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. We have come to know him. We have come to have fellowship with him, and we have come to share life with him. He invites us to his table. And this table is an expression of our fellowship, our sharing with him. He gives us this bread, he gives us this cup, and he invites us to share his life. The cup of blessing that we bless is a participation in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break is a participation in the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this bread. We're thankful for your Son who breaks it and gives it to us to share in the life that he has given for us in his death for us on the cross. Help us to remember this as we eat this bread. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we lift our hearts in thanks for this cup of blessing. We give thanks for the covenant in your Son's blood that it represents. And we give thanks for the forgiveness that that blood gives to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for everything that you've given to us. We acknowledge that all we have comes from you, and we ask that you teach us to be generous with all things that you have given to us and to help others with it. We pray that what we give today will be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Light of your love is shining in the midst of a darkness shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth. You now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirror, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Good morning, church. Just like we sang this morning, we are about to get into God's Word. And the reason that I do this and the reason why we do this is so that our hearts will be set on fire, so that for all eternity our bodies and souls will not be set on fire. This is not a game that we are playing. And the stakes are way too high. We have got to be walking by the Spirit of Jesus. Because the spirit of the enemy is prevalent. And the spirit of the enemy is, well, pretty powerful, apparently. So, this morning, as we get into God's Word, let's pray for His Spirit to guide us in wisdom, in understanding, in love, and in light. Our Father in heaven, we have made the good confession that Jesus Christ, your only Son, was sent here to show us your face. to die for our sins and to be raised in victory over death. Father, we believe. And we know that our time in the flesh is short. And we know that it is our eternal souls that what really matter. Father, I pray that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you guide our steps, that we walk in your light at all times. You warn us, you teach us, you discipline us. Father, I pray that we will be faithful till the end, because we want to see you face to face. We want to enjoy the final victory. So I pray, Father, as we study your word today, I pray that your Holy Spirit and the truth of your scriptures will open our eyes and guide our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn back over to Matthew chapter 10 that Brooks read for us this morning. Today we are going to take a look at the three things that the enemy is doing to take you out. The three things that the enemy is doing to try to destroy you. And the good news is, he hadn't changed his game plan. He's been doing it since the very beginning. He's been doing the exact same thing over and over and over. And he hasn't had to change his tactics because you and I are not getting any wiser to it. You and I are still falling for it. So, as we take a look at these three things that Satan is using against us, we are also going to see the ways in which God is saying, you don't have to fall for that. Here's how you stand in that. It really struck me, Wednesday night we've been studying through Jeremiah, and just seeing Israel coming to that point to where God says, all right, no more warnings, no more anything else, this is it, this is finally the end. And he destroys Israel, and he exiles the nation. And even in all of that, Kevin and I were talking for a minute afterwards, and sometimes it just blows our minds when God would speak directly to his prophet, to his people. He would show miracles, and yet his children would still just look at him and go, I don't think that's it. And so the same thing. I was reading this week about the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And Lazarus is sitting at the rich man's gate, and he's begging for scraps. And when his life is over, he is comforted in the sight of Abraham. And the rich man, when he dies, he goes to hell. And the rich man said, you know, if you just can you just have Lazarus dip his finger in just a little bit of cool water and cool my tongue? And Abraham says, no. You had your shot in life. You were well fed. He didn't have anything. And now, he's got everything he needs. And we really just can't go back and forth between where we are and your place of torment. And the rich man says, okay, well, if nothing can be done to me, then I've got brothers who didn't listen to the truth. Will you please just send someone and let them know that I messed up, that I made a mistake, that it's all real, that it's all true. Go back and warn them so that they don't end up here where I am. And Jesus, telling this story, says, they got everything they need to believe in God. And if they won't believe, then the resurrection from the dead will not convince them. Those are scary words. Those are scary words. And however you take it, and I've heard it taught a lot of different ways, and some people just gratefully and thankfully go, oh, well, that's just a story that Jesus told, which is, again, just another temptation to not take the whole thing seriously. The enemy wants nothing more because he's done. He's done. He has been defeated. The grave was empty. And the Father restored the life of the Son. Death has no power anymore. So all Satan can do in his miserable state is convince as many as possible to join in his damnation. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says right before the verses that Brooks read, he says, look, I'm your teacher and you're my disciple, and if they treat me poorly, they're going to treat you poorly. So let's not go into this world, let's not go into this week thinking, oh, well, all of the evil in the world is just going to part the sea and make things easy for me because I'm a follower of Jesus. Nope. They killed our Lord and Master. They killed him. He didn't hurt anybody. He didn't do anything wrong to anybody. He spoke truth. He showed love. He forgave sins. And he opened up the way to God to anyone who would believe. And the powers that be said, well, we can't have that. And Jesus said, if they treated me that way, how do you think they're going to treat you? And then he goes on to say there in 26, and he says it three times, do not fear. He says in verse 26 of Matthew chapter 10, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed. It's all going to be laid bare. Everything is going to be seen and known. We see partially now. We don't know what's really going on around us. You don't know how many things are being hid from you. You don't know how many lies you are actually walking by. But there is coming a day when everything will be laid bare. When justice will happen. And when that day comes, we do not want to be outside of the grace of God. So do not fear them. Secondly, he says in verse 28, don't fear those who kill the body. Don't fear those who can kill you. Fear God. Because God not only has the power to kill, he has the power to judge. And eternity is a lot longer than 80, 85, 76, however many years we're going to have here. Eternity doesn't end. Time's erased and it's just your existence. It's just what you are, who you are, where you are. That's a bigger deal than a few years in the flesh that you and I are going to try to cram everything we can in here. He says, you need to realize that the one to be feared is God. And if we fear man more than God, we're going to be tempted to do things that man wants us to do. That is, if we fear temporary repercussions for walking by faith, then you and I are going to mess up. You and I are going to stumble. You and I are not going to be faithful to God. We're going to try to squeak out. We're going to try to get away with it. Jesus warns us. Make sure you know who to fear. But then he says in verse 31, fear not, because you are valuable to your heavenly Father. You are valuable to your heavenly Father, and I love the fact that our lives and our days are numbered in His hand. Church, who is in charge of how long you live in the flesh? God! We need to hear this loud and clear. The enemy is not going to decide when and where. Your Father in heaven decides when and where. And if you are faithful to your Father in heaven, then the when and the where are just minor details. In the end, they do not matter. How my life is finished here doesn't matter. When my life is finished here doesn't matter, because that is not the end of me. So fear not. Fear not. God has His whole creation in His hand. God has the whole lifespan of everything in His creation in His hand. And you are more valuable than a couple little birds who might fall from a tree. God loves you. God loves you. Trust Him. Trust Him. He would go on to say in verse 32, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Church, our responsibility is to acknowledge Christ. Our responsibility is to acknowledge Christ. And the enemy, he's still doing this exact same thing, fear. We were specifically in Jeremiah when Some of the people are asking the prophet Jeremiah, hey, will you go talk to God for us? Because, you know, we're kind of scared and we're not sure what to do. And Jeremiah says, okay, I'll talk to him, but I don't think you're going to listen to him anyway, but I'll go. Jeremiah goes and God sends word, making him wait 10 days. And he comes back and he says, hey, don't run back to Egypt. Do not run back to that place that was death and sin and temptation. You stay right here and God will take care of you. And they looked right at the prophet. They said, well, you're lying. And they ran to Egypt. And God said, fine, that's it. Those who are destined to die by the sword, they get the sword. Those who are destined to die by pestilence, they get pestilence. Those who are destined to be taken away and put into slavery by someone else, well, that's what they're going to get. You cannot escape the hand of God. I don't care what the enemy says. No one escapes God. It doesn't matter how much we minimize him. It doesn't matter how much the world ignores him. God gets the final word. So we do not need to be afraid to acknowledge Jesus Christ before others. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Just as the enemy is using fear to try to get you and I to not be faithful to our Lord and Savior. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul writes to the church and he uses a different time in the history of God's people. And he points back to the wilderness. When Moses has led God's people out of slavery in Egypt and he gets them out of the wilderness. They get all the way out to the wilderness. God leads them around. He provides for them every day. And they didn't trust God. They didn't trust God. They woke up every morning and there it is. Literally translated, what is it? Manna. Every morning they got up and there was enough food for the day. God provided enough for the day. And they were to trust him for the day. The enemy gets us scared, doesn't he? There's not going to be enough. Oh, what are you going to do? Well, Paul says to the church, he says, look, I'm writing you this so that you will not fall to the temptations of sin. Let's pick it up in verse 6. Now verse 5. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. You remember that whole generation didn't get the promised land. They couldn't even trust God enough through the wilderness. He brings them all the way to the gates of the promised land. He says, all right, go in there and take a look and come back and bring a report and tell everybody how good it is. And they come back and they say, yeah, it's good. But there's big things in there. Big, scary giants. God brought us all the way here to destroy us. Church, I know that in your desperation, you have said something of that admission or that prayer. God has brought me all the way to this day just to destroy me. Shame on us. Shame on us not even trusting God to lead our steps and guide us to wherever he needs us to be. Shame on us. And that's what happened to them. That's what happened to them. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6, now these things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. We get the story of Israel so that we will not do the bad things that they did. Verse 7, do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example. But they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to men. God is faithful and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The enemy is still tempting us to sin. The enemy is still trying to get you and I to do bad things. Because if we do bad things long enough, every time we do those bad things and we give a little bit more of ourselves, when we are not quick to repent, when we do not run back to the Father and say, I am so sorry, I should not have done that. I know it was wrong. I need your mercy. I need your forgiveness. The more we play in the dark, the further and further away we get from the light. And the more we play in the dark, the less and less chance there is that we're going to see the light again. So the enemy tempts us to sin. And so Paul here writing to the church says, church, you need to be wary of this. You need to be aware of this. Because look, we are tempted with the same thing that they are. Verse 7, idolatry, making false gods. Making false gods. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it is a golden calf made out of our jewelry. It doesn't matter if it is an Asheroth. It doesn't matter if it is anything ancient. Or the new gods that we have created here and now today. Idolatry is idolatry. And if you give yourself over to anything other than the one true God, you are wrong. Do not fall for it. Do not give your heart, your life, or your service to anything other than the one who has died for you. God is faithful. He'll provide a way out. Do not be idolaters. Do not indulge in sexual immorality. Keep your vessel holy. Whatever it takes, do not give in to the temptations and the indulgences of the flesh. We are surrounded by images. We are surrounded by opportunities. Every single day we are surrounded by chances in which to see one another as less than what we are. That's what sexual immorality does. It dehumanizes. I see someone else as merely an object of desire. Let your desire be for your spouse. Be faithful to your marriage bed. Do not put Christ to the test. Do not put Christ to the test. God tells us what to do. It's not up for debate. It's not up for debate. Did they really say that? Did God really say that? Is that really what He wants us to do? Because I can find 36 ways to argue my way out of that. Don't put Christ to the test. Christ says, this is how you live a righteous life. Then you live a righteous life. We don't need to spend our time and energy trying to disguise our own desires by still being good Christians. We've got to figure out what God wants from our life, and we do it. Don't put Christ to the test. What else are we tempted by? Oh, the last one. The nasty one. Don't even grumble! Wait, what? Well, I'll be a Christian, but I'm not going to be happy about it. Well, I'm going to follow. I'll trust God, but you better believe someone's going to hear about this. Let me speak to the manager. Except none of us are speaking to the manager, because if we actually got on our knees and had humble hearts and went to the manager in all things in prayer, we would close our mouths. And we would walk away and say, I got nothing to grumble about. I got nothing to complain about. My life is good. I am blessed. It is a temptation to see all the negative around us. It is a temptation to complain about everything that happens to us, that we go through, that we must endure. In those times when you are tempted to grumble, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus, because I promise you, you cannot complain about your situation and still be holding the image of Christ in your heart at the same time. It's not possible. It's not possible. Because what did Jesus do? Jesus went to the cross. Jesus was beaten and stricken and had not only the humility to keep his mouth shut, but willingly died for all of our sins and with all of our sins, having nailed all of them to the cross. willingly. He didn't crawl down. He didn't run away. He went through it. He went through it. And here Paul can say to us a few years later, hey, why don't you quit complaining about your life? Why don't you quit complaining about your life? Why is that such a big deal, Michael? Well, it's such a big deal because have you heard how much we complain about everything? Oh, sexual immorality. Yeah, I'm good, Michael. Thanks for the sermon. Oh, seriously? How much longer can he talk? It's our native tongue. Our native tongue is not praise. We sing the songs on the board. How many verses does this have? How long is that sermon going to be? How hot does that building have to be? Come on! This is what we do. It's our native tongue, isn't it? Turn your grumbling into prayer. Quit your whining. Quit your complaining. Newsflash for you. If God knows where all the sparrows are falling from, and if God has your whole life in his hand, guess what? You are where he needs you to be. Quit complaining about it. Live it faithfully. Live it faithfully. God's put you somewhere? Live it faithfully. God's got you in a bad situation? Live it faithfully. Everybody around you is going crazy and they're seems to be they're all walking in the darkness and they don't even know what's going on. Live it faithfully. Grumbling doesn't help anybody. Does it help you? I mean, do you feel better after you complain about things? We think we do. I know we think we do. You know how I know? Because we keep on grumbling. We think complaining solves things because we do so much of it. In some ways, it makes us feel better because we think it's actually doing something. It's not. Stop. Pray to the Father. Pray to the Father. Find me a way out of this or give me the strength to get through this. That's what needs to be heard from our lips. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 2. So, the enemy is tempting us with fear. Fear. Be afraid of what everybody else is being afraid of. The enemy is tempting us with just temptation to sin. Just indulge the flesh. Live for yourself. Go your own way. Don't worry about what God has to say. You do you. It's all going to turn out okay. And finally, the third temptation in Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul will warn us about this. The final temptation, and again, you could come up with your own list. You'll probably find some more. But here's one we're going to talk about today. The final temptation that you and I are faced with each and every day is having our hearts captivated by things in this world that are not true. Blows my mind how many untrue things you and I hold on to that we use to make decisions to guide our steps. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6, therefore as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Now, good advice, right? Walk in the light of Jesus. Sounds great. You are established, you are rooted in Jesus, you are growing up into Jesus. Yes! You are abounding in thanksgiving. That grumbling, we took care of that. We're not going to grumble anymore. We're going to give thanks for everything. We're going to overflow with thanksgiving. We're going to annoy people with all of our thanksgiving. Because you know how annoyed you get when all you want to do is grumble and someone around you just wants to give thanks? Must be nice. If you had my life, if you've ever suffered any, if you've ever gone through dark nights of the soul, then you would know, and you'd have something. You'd be grumbling too. But you're just sitting over there all, your life is easy, so you're just going to give thanks for everything. Here's his warning. Verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive, enslaves you, by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Church, the biggest temptation that we face, you and I, right now, today, this is real, is being captured by earthly wisdom and understanding. Those less than God making decisions to dictate our lives. Those who have earthly wisdom that tell us, hey, this is the right thing. This is the right thing. This is what you need to know. This is what you need to know. This is what you need to understand. It is all around us. It is all around us. And guess what? You and I invited in. You and I invited in. I need some wisdom today. Let's see. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? There's got to be a how-to about that. Yeah, I'll find that. See, what's going on in the world today? Hey, this thing is a remote, too. We invited in. And the enemy goes, oh, okay, really this easy? Bells and whistles? You guys aren't much better than the six-year-olds. Bells and whistles, look over here. See what's going on over here? This is what you need to know. This is what will make you smart. Ooh, now you know better than everybody else. Woohoo! It's pathetic, church. It's pathetic. Because newsflash, the news is going to change. The information by which we are making all of our decisions here on earth is changing. The experts are going to change. Everybody changes. You know what doesn't change? The thing that you and I better know better than anything else. The one thing that doesn't change. The one thing that doesn't change. That is where you and I need to be getting our information. That is where you and I have defense against our souls being captured by the enemy and his worldly ways. Verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. You don't have to be taken captive by earthly ways or wisdom or knowledge or lies or anything else, because you are in Christ. And look, the only answer is, you know what? I am in Christ. I am in Christ. I have been buried with him in baptism. I have been raised with him. I am filled with his fullness. I have been made alive together with him. I have triumphed. I have the victory over all of these enemies in Jesus Christ. Why am I going to let some loser tell me otherwise? You know who gets to make the rules? The winner. That's who gets to make the rules. God wins. God won, so we confess Jesus Christ, because death has been taken away. God rules. God rules. So don't be deceived or captured by the things in this world. You are in Christ Jesus. You don't play by the same rules that they do. Those who have been captured in this world, they play by a different set of rules. They're captured. They're enslaved. Church, you and I are free. You and I are free in Jesus Christ. You and I are free from following the spiritual forces and things that rule over this world. You and I are free from that. So don't allow yourself to go back to slavery. The three things we talked about this morning. Don't go back to slavery of fear. You've already died with Christ. Your life is hidden with Him above. You are safe. They can't do any real damage to you. So do not go back to fear. Do not. You have died with Christ and been raised to walk in newness of life. Do not go back to those old sins and temptations. That was for your old manner of life. And you're done with that. No more. No more. And that is the first step. I'm not going to do that anymore. And don't go back to being held captive by everything that this world says and does. Don't go along with what is... Don't go along with everything that is just being poured over us over and over from every direction and every outlet of here's what you need to know, here's what you need to believe, here's what you need to change, here's what's coming, here's what's new, here's what's changing. You've noticed the pace, right? You notice the pace of the world? I mean, they get us to all physically slow down. We've all been physically slowed down over the past couple of years. But what is going on in the mind? You can't keep up with all the new and the changes going on. You can't keep up. Your mind is being tempted. Your mind is being tempted to remain trapped, to be enslaved and stay there. And so they got to throw all this stuff at you, all this stuff at you, all this stuff at you, all this stuff at you. It's hard to even get your bearings, right? So what do? You do what Jesus did. You stop, you take a step back, and you pray. You stop, you take a step back and say, you know what? All I do all week long is receive the knowledge of this world. I need to give God's voice a chance. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, I'll wrap it up here. He says, here's how you do this. Here's how we're going to fight the power of the devil. Here's how we're going to overcome and live the lives of faith that we have been called to. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Set your minds on things above. Church, look, I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to baptized believers. You and I have come out of the wilderness and into the promised land. You and I have been settled into Jerusalem and yet are still tempted to go back to Egypt. I know who I'm talking to. And I know the warning still has to be shared loud and clear because God's people have a very long history of seeing the shiny things in the world around them and saying, oh, well, I guess we should chase after that. Oh, well, there's a local God. Let's give it honor. Oh, there's something we should worry about and be afraid of. Oh, God getting us out and destroying Pharaoh and splitting the sea. Yeah, He did all that, but there's giants in this new place. Back in Jeremiah, in the coming chapters, they literally said this. They literally said this when Jeremiah says, you're going to be destroyed. God's reach is going to get you. You don't get to escape Him. Sorry. It's not an option. You can either follow Him in faith or He's going to get you. He's going to get everybody one way or another. He's either going to get you with love or He's going to get you with destruction. Your choice. You know what they actually said when they went back? They said, our lives were fine until God brought this destruction upon us and tore up our cities and our homes. So we're just going to follow those other gods. Everything was working just fine while we were following and servicing those foreign gods. Everything was going smoothly. So we'll go back to them. Church, our temptation today is that we'll just go along with what's happening in the world because everything is going along smoothly. And I warn you today, just so everyone can hear it, it's all going smoothly until it's not. And when it's not, there is a lot of stinging and a lot of crying and a lot of no more freedom to choose. Choose wisely. The enemy wants you. You are prime real estate in the spiritual battle. You are trophies to the devil and his servants. Trophies. Mantelpiece. You think that T-ball trophy was shiny? How about the soul and allegiance of once followed the king? You can convince someone to give up their victory and come join the losing side. Oh, that's a rodeo belt buckle right there. You are trophies of the enemy. Do not let him have you. You've been bought with a price. You've been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you haven't, well, today is a good day. Come join him. And if you have, wake up. Wake up. Let's stand together and sing.
Not a spell I take without Jesus is the vow that my heart has made. Though I often am tempted to leave them, yet unto him my heart is stayed.
I thought you were shaking your watch.
Not a step will I take, not a step without him will I go. He will lead me along to that beautiful home over there. Not a step will I take without Jesus, as I travel upon life's way. Though temptations may be all around me, I will follow my Lord each day. Not a step will I take, not a step without him will I go. He will lead me along to beautiful home over there. Not a step will I take without Jesus, where he leads I can never stray. From the path that will lead me to glory, to that land of eternal day. Not a step will I take, not a step without him will I go. He will lead me along to that beautiful home over.
It's great to see everyone here this morning. We've got a few announcements. We need to keep in our prayers Tyler and Bethany. They successfully got the baby turned this last week.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was the baby turned.
We need the baby turned.
Okay. We need the baby turned. We need the baby to be turned. And then they're going to do a home delivery. So we need to pray that that goes well. Also need to keep in our prayers Jerry Bland's parents. They are recovering. I assume his mom's still in the hospital, and his dad was in the hospital a few weeks ago, both with heart issues, so definitely need to pray for healing there. Also need to Tony's going to go back to work tomorrow for half days, so need to pray for him for just strength and continued healing, and that his oxygen level remains where it should be. Just going to be half days to start, and then build up from there. Starting in October, we're going to start back Sunday morning Bible classes. We're going to have adults in here in the auditorium, and then there's going to be two kids classes. I assume just split older and younger, so we'll need some volunteer teachers for that. And then definitely looking forward to having that back going. And then lastly, but not leastly, it is Scotty's birthday. So if you join with me in saying happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Scotty. Happy birthday to you. All right. Is there anything else that I missed or anything else we need? Yes, ma'am, Charlie. Okay. Operation Christmas Child is about to get kicked off. Get with Charlie for all the details. If you need boxes, going to be due the week before Thanksgiving. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. So the gentleman that we support in Kenya, his mother has bladder cancer, so we definitely need to keep her in our prayers. Anything else? Going once, going twice. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I thank you for this day and this time that we have together. I just thank you that we get to join together as a body of believers and get to study your word and sing praises to your name. And I just pray that we would just go out this week and that we would just live our lives just in your spirit and according to your word. I pray that we would just follow you each and every day, and that we wouldn't get distracted by the things of the world, Lord, and that anything that's here in the flesh is just temporary, and that we would just strive for the just the eternal, Lord. I just want to lift up Tyler and Bethany right now. Lord, please be with them in the delivery of their baby. I pray that the baby is able to be turned where it needs to be, and I pray that the home delivery goes well. Lord, please continue to be with Jerry's parents. Just give them the strength and the healing that they need. I pray that you just restore them back to full health very, very soon. Lord, I pray for the missionary's mom. I pray that you just be with her and this cancer diagnosis. Just please give them give her the strength and healing that she needs. Lord, just watch over her, and I pray that you just bring glory through this situation. I pray right now for Tony. Just please be with him as he goes back to work tomorrow. I think that he has that opportunity to be able to return to work, and I pray that you continue to strengthen and heal his body and just restore him to full health very, very soon, Lord. Just be with us all this week, and I pray that everything that we do and everything that we say will bring glory to your name. It's in your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.